your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're looking at the life of Elijah. Elijah and Elisha are two different people. And we meet up with Elijah here dealing with wicked King Ahab. How do we get to wicked King Ahab? Well, we go back to David, King David of the nation of Israel. It's King Solomon of the nation of Israel. Solomon introduces paganism and wickedness, and his predecessors soon divide the nation of Israel into two parts. As you study your Bibles, you'll often hear reference to and see reference to the divided kingdom. And so the nation of Israel, after Solomon, is divided into two places, into two groups, Israel and Judea. And those two kingdoms, they operate side by side in conflict for many, many years. And we watch their kings come and go and change, beginning with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And we are watching now that in the nation of Israel, Ahab is on the throne, and he has brought in all kinds of evil and wickedness and abominable things, including his wife, Jezebel, who is leading the charge for religious reform in the nation of Israel, introducing all kinds of paganism and rottenness and wickedness. And so much so that when we come to this passage of Scripture, in the nation of Israel, in the center of Jehovah God's people, there are 450 prophets of Baal. There are 400 prophets of the groves. The groves were totem poles. And so each totem pole evidently had a prophet. And these folks were just promoting abominations and wickedness and turning the heart of the nation of Israel away from God. And they were worshiping and serving other gods, and no doubt it displeased God. But the Lord is doing a work, and God is using this man, Elijah. Elijah, in our last Sunday evening message, Elijah the Tishbite faces off with King Ahab and says, "Ahab, it's not going to rain in Israel until I say so." And you know the story. Elijah departs and hides, and he's by the brook Cherith and ends up a little bit later in the widow of Zarephath's house. And 3 years have passed, and we pick up the story in verse number 1 of chapter number 18 of 1 Kings. The Bible says, "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." If you'd look with me now in verse 17, we'll continue the story. The Bible says in verse 17, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is taking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, I make no apology for reading long portions of Scripture. I enjoy reading God's Word. I hope that you enjoy hearing it and following along. If you have your Bible, it's easier to pay attention. But we want to see these things and see these stories and see the details that God wants us to see. You see, if I just tell the stories, we miss so much of the detail that God wants us to see. And it's the little details that God gives us in His inspired Word that jump off the page and do the greatest work in our hearts. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, there's some things I want to see and some things I want to pay attention to. But I think the way we should begin this message is just by beginning in the very first verse of chapter number 18 and see what the Bible says. It says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year. The 3rd year of what? The 3rd year of a bad drought. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. The Bible says in verse number 2, there was a sore famine in Samaria. I want you to know something. God had withheld the rain, and for 3 years now, the nation of Israel had suffered greatly. And there was a great famine in the land. Everybody's burdened. For 3 years, Ahab's mad as a hornet at the prophet Elijah because he held Elijah personally responsible for the mess that is going on in the nation of Israel. And we see it's dry and there's a drought. And when we come to the conclusion of this story, we see in verse number 45 that it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. There was a great rain. I've circled in my Bible that phrase. There was a great rain. I like the mental picture and the word picture that the Bible presents to us here. Elijah goes up on Mount, he's up on Mount Carmel. God's already proved himself and he's lit up the altar on fire with God's mighty power. And the prophets of Baal have been slain and Elijah tells Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He says, it's going to happen. God's going to send the rain. And Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, back to the top of Mount Carmel, and he has a servant with him. And you see Elijah, he's got his head tucked between his knees. I don't know if he's laying in the fetal position on his side or if he's down on his face and knees. But he's got his head tucked between his knees, and he sends his servant to the top of Carmel, and he says, look and see what you see down towards the sea. And the boy goes and says, I don't see anything. And Elijah says to his servant, go 7 times. And after the 7th time, number of perfection. After the 7th time, the servant comes back and he says, I see off in the distance a cloud like the size of a man's hand. And the Bible says, in the meanwhile, that the sky gets dark and the wind blows and there is a serious rain. Elijah sends his servant. He says, go tell Ahab to get his chariot and get off the mountain, or he ain't going to be able to get home. It's going to be so slick. And the Bible says that Elijah, I like it, verse number 46, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I see old Elijah running toward Jezreel, sopping wet, covered in the blessing of God. You see, this story begins in a dry time with burdens, very heavy, and a great need. But it concludes with a great rain. With a great rain. And I want to encourage you tonight, as we look at God's Word, I believe there's some principles that can lead us individually, that can lead our church and our community out of a drought into the rain, out of the condemnation of sin into the blessings of God's power. There was a great rain. There was a great rain, and God did a great work in the man Elijah. Let's just begin, number one, by saying this. How did it happen? Number one, Elijah identified the real problem. Elijah identified the real problem. So let's look at verse 17. Elijah has sent Obadiah the prophet to tell Ahab that I want to meet you. And they've met now in verse 17. And the Bible says it came to pass when Ahab, the wicked king, saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto Elijah, unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Art thou he that troubleth? Now here's what Ahab in his pea brain. Ahab had come to the place where he thought for sure that the real problem in Israel was the prophet Elijah. He'd sent men high and low and everywhere for the last 3 years looking for Elijah. And he'd have given anything to cut off Elijah's head and do away with the problem. But I want you to know something. Ahab was terribly deceived. He looks at Elijah and he says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? Folks, I'll have you know something. If you ever hear a news report or hear from some so-called expert that it's God and God's people that are causing all the trouble in this world, I want you to be reminded of King Ahab. He was deceived by Satan himself. The hope for our country, the hope for our community, the hope for our homes and our churches is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a turning away from the sin of the world and the idolatry of worldliness and humanism and turning to faith and trust in our Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, Ahab had it all wrong. But Elijah is used of God as the prophet of God. And the way that Elijah helps us come to this point of great rain, Elijah identified the real problem. The real problem was not that Elijah had troubled Israel. The real problem was that they, the nation of Israel, under the leadership of Ahab and his predecessors, had forsaken the Lord. They had forsaken the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse number 18. And he answered, Elijah. Elijah answers Ahab. He says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. He says, you're the man and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, and eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together under Mount Carmel. I'll tell you what's so sad about this picture. What's so sad about this picture is that Ahab blamed the preacher man, the prophet of God. But he failed to identify that in the king's house, in the nation of Israel, there were 850 pagan prophets eating and fellowshipping among God's people. Folks, I want you to know something. We live in a day of idolatry. If I ask people, are you an idol worshiper? Oh, we're too smart and too good for that. But quite frankly, an idol is anything that takes the place of God. An idol is anything that turns our heart and our affection away from our Creator and our Savior. And idolatry is rampant. We worship education. We worship materials. We worship professions. We worship careers. We worship athletics. We worship achievements. And the things I've just mentioned, they're not all bad. But I'll have you know something. If they are pursued before God, they are an idol. And I can't help but think that the judging hand of God is falling on the nation that we live in because we've turned our backs on God. And we want to blame the preacher. We want to blame the evangelical Christians. We want to blame this, that, and everything. And most of the time, what gets in the target is the very thing that will help the most. When we really need to just pay attention and see the fact that we've become a nation of idolaters, and we've become a nation of folks who have put God on the back burner and worshiped secular humanism and worshiped the things that God has given us the ability to create so that we can enjoy. And Ahab calls and speaks up and says, it's your fault, Elijah. But Elijah, on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, no, no, no. Ahab, the real problem is there is wicked idolatry going on in the nation of Israel, in God's land, among God's people. And the judging hand of God is falling on them. He says, it's the fact that you and God's people have forsaken the Lord. I want you to know something. It's easy as we see and study a passage of Scripture like this and preach a message like this. It's easy for Christian people sitting in church on Sunday night. By the way, I thank you for being here. But it's easy for Christian people sitting in church on Sunday night to point our fingers outside the doors. The first place that we should look and the first heart that we should check is our own. Have we forsaken the Lord? Have we allowed things of this world, concerns of this world, the burdens of this world to take the place of our faith in God? May God help us not to forsake the Lord. You see, Elijah identified the real problem. They had forsaken the Lord. Not only had they forsaken the Lord, but they had also failed to speak up. I think this is quite fascinating. In verse 19, the Bible says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which did eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. So he's gathered the prophets together, and now the Bible says there's a group of people. All the people have come together to see what's going on. The Bible says in verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He says, how long are you going to straddle the fence? How long are you going to wait to make up your mind? How long are you going to stay quiet and silent? The Bible says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah said, if the Lord, Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is the Jehovah God to the Bible, if Jehovah God, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the Bible says, and the people answered him not a word. Look at that. This is the nation of Israel. These are the same people that their forefathers and in their heritage and not too many years past had seen God do such amazing things, deliver them out of Egyptian bondage, taking them through the wilderness into the promised land, victory after victory. This is the same group of people. And yet, when the prophet of God says, if Jehovah is God, speak up. Don't halt between two opinions. Speak up. If God is God, speak up. And he says, fine, if you think Baal's God, then speak up for that too. Whatever. He says, we know the Lord is God. He said, speak up. The Bible says that all the people answered him not a word. Folks, I want you to see something. Elijah's identifying the problem. God is using Elijah to identify the problem. You see, they'd forsaken the Lord. Not only had they forsaken the Lord, but the few people who had a modicum of faith left in their soul, do you know what they did? They kept their mouth shut. They were afraid to speak up for the glory of God. They were afraid to say, here I am. They were afraid to count me in. They were afraid to proclaim the truth of God's word. They just kept their mouth shut. And I'll just tell you something. I'm convicted. Here I am. I stand three times a week at the pulpit, preach on the radio and do this and that and telling people, preaching all the time about the gospel. But I have moments quite frequent, more than I like to admit, where I kind of just, I think I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And we shouldn't be asinine and unkind and tasteless in our witness. But I'll have you know something. We should be bold and courageous and gracious and kind and loving. And every chance we get, we ought to speak up for God and His glory. The nation of Israel had gone down the tubes. The nation of Israel were in the depths of despair. A country that had been so blessed by God was devastated with paganism. And when the prophet stood before the people of Israel, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? The Bible said they answered him not a word. I ain't saying nothing. They were cowards. They were cowards. Oh my, it's time for God's people. Stand up for Jesus. In school, our students need to stand up for Christ appropriately and the right spirit, but stand up for Christ. Stand up for truth. Stand up for Bible truth. At work, we need to stand up for Jesus. In the political realm, we need to stand up for Christ. We don't need to be quiet. You see, the nation of Israel failed to speak up. And Elijah said, you all have messed up. You won't stand up for Jesus. My prayer, I'm praying just like this. I'm praying that out of Bible-believing churches like ours, that God will raise up a generation of Christian young people who have a burden to be the best citizens they can possibly be, who are willing to to bear reproach if necessary for the cause of Christ. I'm praying God will raise up godly police officers out of our ranks. I'm praying God will raise up godly politicians and godly lawyers and preachers and teachers and nurses and et cetera. But out of our ranks, God will raise up folks who say, you know what? We're going to play a prominent role in our society, and we're going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is worth fighting for. You see, Elijah identified the problem. They had forsaken the Lord. They had failed to speak up. And he also identified that their problem was what they were worshiping was dead. Look what the Scripture says in verse 21. Verse 22. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So here's what Elijah does. Elijah says, look, we'll prove God. We'll prove who is God. I'm going to trust God and His Word, and we'll prove who the real God is. And so the Scripture continues, and the first group to go are the 450 prophets of Baal. They build up an altar. They lay the wood on it, and they lay the bullets, the animal sacrifice, and they put no fire under it, and they begin to pray. The Bible says in verse 26, they took the bullock, was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar. They start by praying, and then they continue by leaping. In verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Elijah kind of stirs the pot and taunts them a little bit. He says, maybe he's asleep. You're not yelling loud enough. And here's what the prophets of Baal do. In verse 28, they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed upon them. Isn't that sad? So sad. Do you know what breaks my heart about this picture? Is that these prophets of Baal were so deceived that they literally believed that that false god might answer their prayers. And that maybe if they would cut themselves as their manner was, that maybe that would get his attention. Oh, how wicked. How sad. The Bible says in verse 29, it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor anything that regarded. Elijah identified the real problem. Do you know what the real problem was? They had forsaken the Lord. They had failed to speak up, and their gods were dead. Their gods didn't exist. Now, folks, if you think that you're going to get satisfaction out of something this world has to offer, you're going to die an empty person. If you think that you're going to have peace and joy in this life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die a disappointed person. There's only one God. It is the God of the Bible and His Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, that paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that all of us, if we'll repent and turn to Him, can have everlasting life. Their God was dead. And the gods of the world, the flesh, they have nothing to offer. You see, Elijah identified the real problem. You don't need to identify. Have you turned from the Lord? It's possible. Have you turned to the Lord? Have you failed to speak up? Are you resting in something that cannot possibly hear and answer your prayers? We need to turn to the Lord. Elijah identified the real problem. Number two, Elijah encouraged their return to the Lord. Now, Elijah said, look, y'all need to return to the Lord. And here's how he sets the example. Elijah encouraged their return to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 30. In verse 30, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto all the people, the prophets of Baal have failed, and now it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. What does Elijah do first? He repairs the altar of the Lord. For some time on Mount Carmel, there had been an altar where God had been worshipped according to the truth of the law of Moses. And God's people had been faithful to serve the Lord and offer according to His will and His word at that place for some time, but out of neglect, the altar of the Lord had become broken down. And the first thing Elijah does is he repairs the altar of the Lord. What did he do? He encouraged them to return to God's ways. He encouraged them to return to God's ways. Folks, we need to have a revival, a returning to the truth of God's Word. We need to have a returning to righteousness. We need to have a returning to the identity and the reality of sin. We need to return to the idea and the intention of God's Word that all men are sinners and they need a Savior. We need to return to the place where we aren't the gods of this universe, but we are the creation of a loving, righteous God, and we are to make Him Lord of our lives. The principles of the Old Testament law, they weren't there to make slaves out of people. They were truths and they were principles that helped make people free. The Old Testament law showed everybody their need of sin and prepared the way of Jesus, prepared the way for folks to understand they needed Christ. They needed Jesus. And so the first thing that Elijah does is he encourages these folks to return to God's ways. He continues. He encourages them to remember past victories. If the folks were just to be honest and kind of look around and see what's going on in the nation of Israel at this moment, and they saw all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves and Ahab and the awful atrocities that he was inflicting on the people of Israel and Jezebel and her outlandish wickedness. If they were to sit back and just look and see what's going on, they think, my lands, what a mess we've gotten ourselves into. And so Elijah says to the people and sets as an example, he repairs the altar. In verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the numbers of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. What's Elijah do? He goes right there to that altar and then he says, I'm going to just show you guys and remind you of something. He takes 12 stones. And what's the 12 stones for? They represent all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And in those 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, those stones were pictures and reminders of when God had led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and when God had led the children of Israel through the Jordan, and when God had proved Himself over and over again, everywhere along the way, when God had shown Himself so mighty, He whispered into the hearts of the people and said, set up a remembrance, put the 12 stones out so you'll remember, so when your children see it, they'll remember that God brought you through this difficult season. And so Elijah, when he's preparing this altar to prove that God, the God, Lord Jehovah, is the God and should be worshipped by His people, he sets up 12 stones and he wants to remind these folks that God has done it before and He can do it again. And I want to encourage you tonight. God has seen His people through difficulties, not for decades or centuries, for thousands and thousands of years, and time again, God has seen His faithful people through the most trying and difficult of times. And we should look back and remember that God's done it in the past and He can do it again. And we should not be tempted to retreat to the idolatry and to the wickedness of the world, but we should remember to retreat to the faithfulness of God and take the advice of Elijah and just return to the Lord. They were remembering past victories. They were resting in God's Word. Look what Elijah says in verse 31. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And the Bible says right here, he said he did this according to the word of the Lord. He said, you remember in Genesis chapter number 32, verse 28, when God said to Jacob, I'm not going to call you Jacob anymore. I'm going to call you Israel. You're a prince with God. They reminded him of God's blessing. Elijah reminded him that God has promised to meet the needs of the nation of Israel, and God has promised to meet the needs of his people. As we return, Elijah encouraged them to return to the Lord. Elijah in turn encouraged them to return to the Lord and return to a righteous authority. Look at what the Bible says in verse 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. What was Elijah trying to do? Forever and a day now, Jezebel had said, I'll tell you what, you need to worship Baal. Yeah, you know, there's old-fashioned Israelites who said there's only one God, blah, blah, blah. Now look, that's old-fashioned. And Jezebel was promoting the gods of the groves and the Baal worship and the prophets of Baal. And Jezebel had caused there to be pressure from the political scene and pressure from the people that were in the supposed to know. And Jezebel had led the way and Ahab had led the charge. And it had got to a place in the nation of Israel, prince with God, it had gotten to the place in the nation of Israel where it was just completely out of style to identify with the ultimate authority, Jehovah God. But Elijah said, listen here. I'm building this altar. This altar. Baal's altar has failed. They've cut themselves and jumped around and cried and screamed and prayed and hollered. And they don't have a God that can hear and answer prayers. But he says, I've prayed and I've built this altar in the name of the only hope that we have, Jehovah God, who created us and loved us. He says, we're going to make him the Lord. He encouraged their return to the Lord, a return to a righteous authority. What's your authority in life? I'm afraid often the authority of our lives are ourselves. And if we go and do what we want to do and make ourselves the authority, we can't help but live in error. God's Word, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be our authority. We should submit ourselves to these things and rest and return to the Lord. Finally, the Lord proved himself faithful. I like how the story concludes. Isn't it sweet? Elijah, he puts together his altar. He gets some guys and he says, we're going to put together the altar. We're going to put the wood on there. We're going to stack it just right. And then we're going to put the bullock on there. And he sends for 4 barrels of water. And they pour 4 barrels of water on the fire. I'll just be honest with you. I probably would have wanted my wood as dry as possible because I have weak faith. But Elijah said, we're going to just prove who God is and that God is greater than this. So he pours 4 barrels of water on. He said, that's not enough. He says, do it 2 more times. 3 times they pour 4 barrels of water. They have 12 barrels of water on this poured all over this altar. And they've dug a trench around the altar. And it's enough to hold a certain amount of grain. It's sizable. It's substantial. And they pour all this water in the trough around the altar is full of water. And Elijah prays, and his prayer is right. He doesn't want the glory. He says in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. What happened? The fire of God fell and the wood burned up. Now we could expect that. And the sacrifice, we could expect that. You've ever tried to ever forgotten burnt something on the grill? It takes a long time for it to burn away, but God just licked it right up. The Bible says that not only did the sacrifice and the wood and the st- stones. The stones disintegrated. And the dust, the Bible says, and God's fire licked up the water that was in the trench. The Bible says in verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." I showed you in verse number 24 that all the people, I'm sorry, back in verse 21, Elijah spoke to all the people and they wouldn't speak up. The people answered him not a word. Look at verse 24. Elijah presents this idea. He says, let's just prove which God is God. In verse 24 it says, "The God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." They said, "We'll trust a God that'll prove himself." They said, "We'll trust a God that'll prove himself." The Bible says in verse 39, when God proved himself, all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Folks, I want you to know something. It was God that did the work, but it was Elijah that God used to help this group of people, all these people who just kept, they're like, "We're not saying anything." And then they said, "Well, if God will prove himself, then we'll believe him." And God used Elijah and the faith of Elijah and Elijah's trust in God's word. God used Elijah, and it was his life that God used to prove himself. And when Elijah had trusted the Lord, and God proved himself through Elijah, guess what happened? All the people said, "The Lord Jehovah, He is God. The Lord Jehovah, He is God." God used Elijah to help the other people believe. You know what? I can't help but think that faithful Christians and their unwillingness to put God to the test and trust Him and live principled lives. I'm not asking you to do anything extraordinary, extreme. Just simply trusting the Lord. Having a spirit that says God's going to help us through this. Having an attitude knowing that God is going to meet our needs. That ceasing from wringing our hands, worrying and fretting over things that are well in God's hands and care. And letting folks know that we're resting in the Lord. And representing Christ and speaking up for Him. But it was Elijah's faithfulness and Elijah's willingness to trust the Lord that caused all these people to go from silence to, "Sure, if God will prove Himself," to, "Jehovah God, He is Lord. Jehovah God, He is Lord." The Lord proved Himself faithful. The story concludes like this. All the prophets of Baal are slain. And Elijah tells Ahab, he says, "Ahab," he says, "I just want you to know you better get up, eat and drink." He says, "There's a sound of abundance of rain." Elijah looks at Ahab, he says, "Listen here, buddy. God licked this thing up with fire and it's going to rain, just so you know." He goes up on the Mount Carmel. Seven times his servant looks and his servant sees a cloud out in the distance over towards the sea. And Elijah says, "Go tell Ahab. He better get his chariot off this mountain. It's going to get slick." And the clouds get dark and the rain starts to pour. And Elijah, full of the Spirit of God. Man, what a victory. What a victory. God had proven himself. And God's people had got a glimpse of how faithful God was. And it's pouring the rain and Elijah's excited. He runs all the way back to Jezreel. As far as I can tell from the scripture, somewhere along the way, he passes Ahab in his chariot. It's pouring the rain. God has answered his prayers. There was a great rain. Folks, I don't know about you, but I long for these moments when God proves himself faithful. And he will. He will prove himself faithful. He's never failed us yet. But it's time, more than ever, for God's people to just boldly stand up for truth, to boldly turn to the Lord, to boldly represent our Savior, to tell other people what a difference Jesus has made in our hearts and our lives and our homes, to praise Him for His specific answers to prayer, praise Him for His specific provisions, and to see what God can do. And God, man, did it rain. There was a great rain when God's people were faithful. You see, Elijah gives us a great example. May we just learn to trust in the Lord. May we learn to rest in Him. I pray that God will convict us for our faithlessness and worldliness, that He'll use us for His glory. There was a great rain. I can't help but feel that, man, it's just such a dry and thirsty season right now, isn't it? But God sends the rain. God uses His people. I want to be counted. I want to be right in the heart of it when God proves Himself. I want to allow God to use me. Do you feel that way? I'm encouraged by Elijah. And the same God that licked up that altar and proved Himself faithful and turned the hearts of all those people and just soaked the whole land, it's the same God that you and I serve right now. Same God. Different time. Same God, same power, same opportunity. And I'm just going to be encouraged, resting in the Lord, counting on Him. What a faithful God we serve. There was a great rain. And God can do it again.